This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, churning and burning through everything. We have all kinds of questions this hour, like people who laugh after they say, anything at all. We'll talk about tariffs on Mexico. I want to get to this Ukraine stuff right now because Trump talked a little bit about it today. Had some interesting things to say about it. First, well, here it was.
I'm finding it more difficult, frankly, to deal with Ukraine. And they don't have the cards. They don't have the cards. As you know, we're meeting in Saudi Arabia on sometime next week early. And we're talking. But I find that in terms of getting a final settlement, it may be easier dealing with Russia, which is surprising because they have all the cards. I mean, they're bombing the hell out of them right now. And I put a statement in, a very strong statement. Can't do that.
Mr. President.
We're trying to help them. And Ukraine has to get on the ball and get a job done.
Trump right now is dealing with, I admire it, what he's doing. I like what he's doing. He has to be so frustrated beyond belief. He's trying to end it. And he's pulling every lever and doing everything you can do to end it. He got Ukraine. He got them a mineral rights deal, which would, of course, give us some of their mineral rights, of course, which we most definitely deserve. That's the reason that Kyiv isn't in Putin's hands right now. We are the reason. But the mineral rights deal served two purposes, you see. By giving us a financial interest in Ukraine, now if Russia decides they want to ramp up hostilities again next year, and those dirty Ruskies can always be banked on to do that eventually, now you're pressing our financial interest, and now you better be real careful, Jack. So that in and of itself was a security guarantee to Ukraine. And then there's Russia. I'm not going to go into it again because I've already done it a couple times this week. Russia has reclaimed the territory it wanted, the Russian-speaking territory, the warm water ports, all the valuable territory. They've claimed it. They invaded it. They've bitten. They've held it. Good for them, I should say. Russia's gotten it. And the reason Russia has been easier to deal with is because Russia's gotten really what it wanted out of the whole thing. Remember, just pause for a moment. Remember this? Anybody on any side of the aisle, Democrat, Republican, I don't care whether he was a general or a radio host or a CIA guy or whoever, anybody who's told you that Putin plans to march through Europe once he takes Ukraine is either an idiot or a liar. Anybody who's told you that Putin plans to march through Europe is either an idiot or a liar. Putin doesn't even have close to the ability to do something like that. They weren't even able to take all of Ukraine. So the only reason someone says that to you is they heard it from another idiot or liar and they're repeating it, or they're lying, trying to emotionally manipulate you and convince you once again that every war is World War II, and of course Putin is Hitler in this case. That's not what's happening here. Okay. Russia took back the Russian-speaking territory they want in Ukraine. Period. They took it. So of course Russia is going to be more accommodating to Trump when Trump says, hey, you ready to make a deal? Because in the end, yeah, Russia might have to give a little of this, a little of that back of it. But for the most part, they're going to get to keep what they always wanted to keep. Of course, Russia is going to be more accommodating. This brings us to Ukraine. Because Trump laid it out in the beginning, they're more difficult to deal with.
I'm finding it more difficult, frankly, to deal with Ukraine.
Why? Well, because in Trump's mind, and he's not necessarily wrong about this, Ukraine doesn't have any leverage here. They lost. And nobody really wants to hear that, because no matter how you feel about this whole thing, nobody really likes to see a big country like Russia, especially if you're not aware of any of the history of it, just march tanks across the border and take parts of a smaller country. That rubs us all instinctively the wrong way. Nobody roots for Goliath when they read the story of David and Goliath. It just doesn't work that way. The smaller one usually gets the people behind it. So we don't like to hear that Ukraine is lost. And America has been so infected with Marvel movie mentality that we believe in the end that Iron Man, of course, will always win. He'll be down and out, but he'll come back any moment now. Just give him another couple weeks. But that's not how wars work, and that's not how real life works at all. Ukraine doesn't have the troops. They don't have enough men. But probably more importantly than that, they don't have the manufacturing. They can't produce enough stuff. Remember World War II? We'll actually talk some World War II, because there's a bunch of questions about that tonight. World War II was not necessarily won on the front lines. Of course, you know, that was important, and that's what we honor. World War II was won in the manufacturing sector of America. Japan, towards the end, they couldn't get the fuel. They couldn't make the ships. They couldn't make the planes. Germany, same thing. They just couldn't make enough stuff, where we were just churning out stuff. What are you going to do with endless supplies of planes and tanks? You can't win. Ukraine can't win. It's not possible. But there's the NATO aspect, which we touched on last night. Why would Ukraine be so tough to deal with right now when they know the reality of everything I just said? Europe, the other parts of NATO, really all the parts of NATO that aren't us, Europe has told them, oh, no, we've got you. Well, we've got you covered. And now Europe's out there saying things like this.
Europe is ready to assume its responsibilities. Rearm Europe could mobilize close to 800 billion euros of defense expenditures for a safe and resilient Europe. We will, of course, continue working closely with our partners in NATO. This is a moment for Europe, and we are ready to step up.
Now, you can take your guess one way or the other, whether you think Europe is actually good for $800 billion in defense, whether you think Europe is actually going to mobilize all of its military forces and push them into Ukraine. I have a very, very difficult time believing they would take that step, but they may. And the thing Donald Trump is saying is, hey, I've got people coming to the table ready for a deal. I've already talked to Russia. They're ready for a deal. Ukraine, the time to make a deal is now, or don't bank on us.
Because I have to know that they want to settle. I don't know that they want to settle. If they don't want to settle, we're out of there, because we want them to settle.
He's telling NATO right now. As NATO gets more and more and more belligerent with this whole thing, it wasn't just that lady. I already talked to you about Macron. It was in French, otherwise I'd play it for you. And we all know Chris can't habla, so I'm not going to bother with that. But Macron, France, UK saying the same thing. We're going to send men. We're going to send planes. And Trump is letting NATO know. It's not just Ukraine. He's letting NATO know. You keep turning this up, and you don't ever even contribute a fraction of what we do. Don't think you're going to call on daddy to come save you.
I think it's common sense, right? If they don't pay, I'm not going to defend them. No, I'm not going to defend them. I got into a lot of heat when I said that. You said, oh, he's violating NATO. And, you know, the biggest problem I have with NATO, I really, I know the guys very well. They're friends of mine. But if the United States was in trouble and we called them, we said, we got a problem, France, we got a problem. A couple of others I won't mention. Do you think they're going to come and protect us? They're supposed to. I'm not so sure. So
and what's happened here back at home with so many in the media and everyone on the left and all the establishment types on the right is they really don't understand, however you land on all this, that the American public, it's not that they're tired of Russia, Ukraine. It's not the American public is tired of shelling out money for the rest of the world. Times have changed. Now that savings are drained, now that inflation is brutal, now that people have second jobs, now that people have rung up their credit cards, Americans are not now what they were in 1990. And 20 years of a failed global war on terror did a lot to contribute to it too. The American people are done. And so many back on the home front don't seem to want to accept that Trump's stance on this is popular.
Do Americans like the way that Trump's handling his job and compare it to how they felt about Joe Biden? So this is the net approval rating. You look at Joe Biden back in 2024, he was 22 points underwater. Holy cow. You look at Donald Trump, it's just a different planet entirely. I mean, the gulf between these two is wider than the Gulf of America or Mexico, depending on which side of the aisle you stand on. He's at plus two. So look, at this particular point, Americans are giving Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt. He's doing considerably better than Joe Biden was doing on the handling of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And so on this simple question, I think Americans are saying, okay, Donald Trump's doing all right on this.
We're watching a shift in forget the politicians. The American voter has shifted. Over years, for a variety of reasons, the American voter has shifted how he views foreign policy. The politicians, the dumb ones, are lagging behind. Trump is right there with the American people. I would suggest they all catch up, because the American people are finished with it. Now, let me talk to you about living in a blue state, a blue city. Imagine you're laying there tonight, sleep, glass breaks in your house in California. You hear somebody coming into your living room, and you have to make the choice whether to put that guy down and go to prison or not. Well, the Byrna less lethal pistol launcher is legal in all 50 states without a permit or a background check. That Soros prosecutor who wants to throw you in prison for defending yourself, not that they would do such a thing. How's he going to try to throw you in prison when you chose less lethal first? Tear gas balls or pepper balls or kinetic rounds. They're great for concealed carry by your bed. Send one to your loved one who's overseas. Send one to your loved one in New York. BYRNA. Get a nice discount at Byrna.com/Jesse. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Don't forget, you can still email us love, hate, death threats. All can be emailed into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Yeah, and Trump, as you could hear right there, was frustrated with Russia because Russia did. I mean, I understand it from Russia's angle. They're trying to pressure Ukraine to sign the deal. But Russia has ramped up the bombing. Trump said in the statement, Russia's bombing the heck out of them right now. And just to give you a kind of a little boots on the ground eye view from something I finally did confirm this morning. You know, Kursk, you World War II historians will know about Kursk because the largest tank battle in history took place there, but we're not doing that right now. Kursk is an area in Russia. Ukraine, at one point in time, trying to back the Ruskies off, launched an offensive into Russia, into Kursk. Well, look, we all love an offensive, right? We all love generals and militaries that play offense. Yeah, don't just sit back on your heels. Go attack. We love that. But when you're going to do that, you had better make sure you guard your rear. You had better make sure you guard your supply lines, because if you don't, and if the enemy is able to sever your rear, meaning, you just picture an imaginary line between you. You pushed into Kursk, but draw a line, a wire, if you will, a wire from you back to home base. If the enemy is able to step in and sever that wire and stand between you and your home base, you are probably faced with annihilation. And right now, the Russians are... I can't figure out whether or not they've encircled them or they're closing in on encircling them, but it looks like they are cutting off or have already cut off the Ukrainians that have sallied forth into Russia. And that is so unbelievably sad if they have, because look, if the Russians themselves, it happened to them all the time. the Nazis for all the crap they get about their stupid invasion of Russia. They really did beat the living tar out of the Russians for a long time. And they kept doing that to the Russians when they invaded. They kept finding a way to completely encircle them. And tell me this isn't a nightmare, because it was such a war of annihilation and they weren't interested really in prisoners and stuff like that. The Nazis would encircle, you know, 100,000 man Russian army and then just set up all their artillery facing the middle and just artillery them until they're all just pig's meat and then move on to the next one. That's the kind of thing that can happen when your army gets encircled. And that's ugly. Anyway, let's get out of here and talk about some other stuff. Jesse, this might be more of a shrink question for you, but out-of-town friends of the family came by this weekend, last week, and followed everything they said, and I mean everything, they would laugh. Not a real laugh, but a forced laugh. A typical example would be, looks like it's raining outside. Ha, 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 ha. No matter what they said, it was followed by a laugh. Why do people do that? If what they said was funny, it would make sense, but I just don't understand why. Any insights about this? Okay, so I'm not going to use his name for obvious reasons. One, he asked me not to, and two, unless you tell me to, I don't use your name, even for the death threats. But I will say this is probably a generational thing for a reason, and here's why. You will see not just people who are, you know, 15, you'll see people today in their 30s and 40s who will do that lots of times. Isn't it crazy? I went and got Starbucks before I got here. Ha, ha, ha. You've heard people talk like this? Well, older people don't understand how much more social they are than this generation because of technology and social media. And I'm really not putting down this generation. You can't change how technology changes. But I'm only 43. When I was a kid, when I went to hang out with friends, oh, we might be getting into trouble depending on how old we were, but we were outside of the house. We were out causing a ruckus somewhere. We're building bike ramps. We're leaving flaming bags of poop on the neighbor's lawn and ringing his doorbell. We're doing all kinds of stupid stuff, but we were out doing it together with no choice but to talk and talk in person, face to face. Today, generations of people, not just Americans, generations of people do not get together with friends physically. They'll play online, you know, video games or some social media app, Facebook or Instagram, with friends. And there are many negatives that come with that. I suppose there are some positives. You know, their kids are doing fewer drugs now than they ever were. So there are some positives to it, But one of the negatives is so many people get uncomfortable having a basic conversation. Now, that laughing after every time you talk, that's a nervous thing. It's a nervous thing because you're not comfortable around people. We make our sons, like, they have phones, they have smartphones. We don't have them hidden under the bed. They are controlled. And at the dinner table, during family time, board game time, that phone is mine. If I see it, it's mine. We'll have them leave it in the car. If we're going in to hang out with relatives, family reunion. No. There's no phone. There's no sneaking off to the bathroom. There's no nothing. And I've told you, I do this with my boys. Highly recommend it to you parents. Every kid listening is going to hate me for this. Whenever I make my kids go to adult parties, like we were at a Super Bowl party, I make my kids bring me back a piece of information about a strange adult they didn't know before. Only way to do that is asking a question. Go stand there like a man. Figure out how to talk to somebody. You never had to do that before. Today, you have to teach people how to have a conversation. I try to teach people to get some gold and silver in their retirement. That way, they're not wiped out if the stock market takes a poop. Because these Canadian tariffs most definitely are moving forward. And you heard Scott Bessent about this.
Well, there's going to be a natural adjustment as we move away from public spending to private spending. The market and the economy have just become hooked. We've become addicted to this government spending, and there's going to be a detox period.
That detox period can be very painful for your retirement if you haven't taken steps to protect it. You buy precious metals, you get precious metals in your retirement and even in your physical possession, not just when times are good, not when they're bad, not when it's Democrat, not when it's a Republican, always, because it lasts always. China's grabbing up as much gold as they can. Why do you think that is? Other countries, gold, gold, gold. Why do you think that is? Gold Co. is the company you can trust to do this for you. They've won numerous awards. You might qualify for free bonus silver right now. It'd be nice, right? JesseLikesGold.com is where you go. Or call 855-817-GOLD. Let's talk a little tariffs next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. And it is super, super wonderful because I was going to play it earlier, but I decided to let it marinate for a little while. You probably didn't hear about this. Kristi Noem, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, came out and made a statement about the people who were leaking, the DHS employees who were leaking information about the ICE raids. And you remember, I've been yelling and screaming, and I won't stop doing this, about government people having to go to prison. Government people must go to prison. We must have government people in prison by the end of Trump's 4 years to make an example out of what happens when you abuse your position in government. It has to happen. Firings are not enough. Thrilled about the firings. Fire them all. Arrest some. You're going to criticize. Got to give credit where it's due. Kristi Noem came out today, said this.
We have identified two leakers of information here at the Department of Homeland Security who have been telling individuals about our operations and putting law enforcement lives in jeopardy. We plan to prosecute these two individuals and hold them accountable for what they've done.
Now, I asked for it. You asked for it. They're doing it. All the credit in the world. This, of course, lands now on Pam Bondi's desk. Pam Bondi is the Attorney General. And this will be one of the first great tests for Pam Bondi. And if I may, I know if she's not listening, people in her office or close to her most definitely are. Pam, this is the easiest layup in the world if you're trying to make an example out of somebody. Talk about them just handing you one on a platter. It would be politically popular. Nobody in the country is going to yell at you for arresting DHS employees who are leaking this information, trying to protect rapists, putting officers in jeopardy. It's handed to you right here. And if anyone's listening in the Attorney General's office, Don't fall into the trap that happens every time. Well, maybe a misdemeanor will get. How about 6 months probation and a $5,000 no, ma'am, federal prison time, significant federal prison time. Make an example of somebody. It's handed to you right there, and don't let this be the last of it. And consider it one of the first great tests. We will see if she passes. Let's do some other things. Nose whistler. It's not nice. I told you that in confidence. You said you wouldn't be surprised if Trump's tariff threats with Mexico last 4 years. I disagree, because the tariffs cause uncertainty in the markets, and there's no way Trump would tolerate an erratic market for 4 years. This tariff issue with Mexico and Canada will be over in 3 months. China's will last longer. You could be right about that. I don't know that we necessarily considered this aspect of the tariff thing either when it came to yesterday. Remember, we had, I think it was Wednesday, real stock market dip. Kind of everyone was panicking. And then Thursday, Trump comes out and says, all right, no tariffs for Mexico. Maybe Trump backed off that because of the stock market dip. Remember, markets can push back against presidents too, and oftentimes do. Historical Oracle. Going through my parents' loft the other day, I discovered medals and pictures of able seaman Leonard Peach, who would have been my great uncle, but my great great uncle. He died at age 20 invading Italy on the Queen Emma warship. So much information available on Normandy and Japan, etc., but I rarely hear about the history of the fighting in Italy. Do you have any historic tales you could enlighten me with? Prayers for you and your family from across the pond. Wish us looking. They're trying to rid the commies from the other side of the Atlantic. He's in the UK. Yeah, man. Prayers for you. Prayers for you guys in the UK. You're under it too. And yeah, look, this guy's a Brit. So what happened? This, I'll just give you a generic general history on it. The ebbs and flows of the World War in Europe, we'll focus just on the European part of it, kind of went like this. Trump, obviously, he invades Poland. He takes over France. This is all before we were involved. He starts smacking around Britain. He wants Britain to submit. Churchill, famously, very stubborn, stands up. We will never surrender, does all that kind of stuff. At some point, you know, the RAF, Britain puts up a real, real admirable fight. They really did there. And Hitler decides, I don't care about Britain as much. They're not submitting. But Hitler was not a Britain hater. He wasn't. He had a huge axe to grind with France because of World War One. And I realize Britain fought on the same side, but that wasn't near like the German axe to grind was much more with France. Because remember, Germany lost incredibly valuable territory to France at the end of World War One. Hitler had a huge axe to grind with France, and he really had a huge axe to grind with Russia, who he mainly blamed for that loss of World War One. Sorry, not to rewind again. Remember the Russians? They had that Russian Revolution where the communists took over Russia. And then as soon as the communists took over Russia, they kind of screwed the whole thing up for everybody. Well, Hitler blamed the Russians. Specifically, he blamed the Jews in Russia, but the Russians in general. Hitler didn't want Britain, didn't care really about Britain. He really just wanted Britain out of the way. Hitler decides to go after Russia. Okay, he goes after Russia. Now, all this is really before our involvement, keep in mind. He takes off after Russia, Operation Barbarossa, goes clear in Operation Barbarossa, gets clear to Stalingrad. They really won a lot of that. I mean, they were decimating the Russians, but the Russians are, the longer you're in a war with Russians, the more difficult it's going to be. They get their feet underneath them. They get the right generals and people like that in place. Stalin had shot and imprisoned a lot of their best generals, so that hurt them in the beginning. They finally get to Stalingrad, the Russian winter, and the fierce fighting of the Red Army. They really stood up to the Germans. They finally defeat the Nazi Sixth Army in Stalingrad. The Russians start pushing back. Okay, so now we're talking 1941. The Russians start pushing back, pushing the Nazis back. The Allies, they have to take back Europe. You can't just bank on Stalin doing it. He might not even be able to do it. The Allies have to take back Europe. And the argument was always, how do we do this? Remember, hindsight's 20/20 now. Where do we go? Do we cross the English Channel for Normandy? Do we do this? Do we do that? They got together and they decided, this was really a Churchill FDR thing. They decided that Italy was the, quote, soft underbelly of Europe. And the reason they really thought that, in their defense, even though I'm definitely not an FDR fan, and even though the Italian campaign was, it should never have happened, the reason they thought it was the soft underbelly of Europe is the Italians. Now, it's fun to make fun of Italian military prowess, it is, but in their defense, the Russian military budget was 10% of the German military budget. They didn't have the economy, the manufacturing base, the anything to create this significant modern army that was going to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hitler's modern army, which was very, very good. The Italians didn't have the men for that. They didn't have the equipment for that. But FDR, Churchill, they figured, hey, Italy, it's held by Italians. Why don't we just go and we'll come at Hitler from underneath. We'll kind of give him the old sandwich treatment. We'll come at them from Normandy, and we'll come at them from underneath in Italy. Now, that didn't work out. I'll finish this up in just a minute or two. It's not going to do a bunch on this, and we'll move on to other things. Before we do that, let me make sure we're getting our dogs what they need. Your dog, my dog, your cat too. What color is their food? It's brown, isn't it? You ever wonder why? All those different bags of dog food, no matter what brand, no matter what blend, it's all brown. It's odd, isn't it? Well, not when you just understand and accept that there's nothing in any of it. You might as well be feeding your dog cardboard. There's no nutrition. It's just empty calories. There's a reason it lasts so long on the shelf. That's why they do it. Dog food companies kill everything in dog food. And here in America, our dogs die so soon because they never get nutrition. How long would you live if you had a fast food double cheeseburger every meal? Well, that's what your dog has. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics, digestive enzymes, antioxidants. Your dog needs these things, so start sprinkling Rough Greens on his food. Get a free Jumpstart trial bag. You'll be amazed at the physical differences you see when your dog, your cat, finally get some nutrition. RoughGreens.com/Jesse or call 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Chris, whatever happened to the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Are they all dead from drugs, I would assume? They're not dead? Are they alive? They're alive. Well, I guess if they're not dead, that would probably mean they're alive. That would make sense. Hey, let's finish up our talk real quick. Guy was asking about the Italian campaign in World War II. Hitler invades Russia. That's obviously going poorly. The Allies are trying to figure out how do we get into Europe, because Hitler really had set up a fortress into Europe. It was called Fortress Europe for a reason. Those daggone Germans are pretty freaking good at engineering, building fortifications. They used slaves, essentially, indentured servants, to build incredible fortifications around Europe, knowing the Allies would want to come in. We figured, hey, let's try to spit roast them. We'll come in through Italy, too. And we did so in part because we knew the Italians were the ones holding Italy, and they just weren't even close to the fighting force of the Germans, who were very, very capable. But we just, in my opinion, it's one of the more tragic parts of the war. I've done history episodes on it on this show. Longtime listeners will remember I've done multiple on it. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of it. It's an ugly affair because the Germans took over Italy, and unlike the Italians, they did know what they were doing. Italy, if you're on the defense, it's a dream. It's all mountains and valleys and rivers. It's mountains and valleys and rivers. Mountains and valleys and rivers. It's not a place you want to be on the offense. It's a place you want to be on the defense. Well, I just mentioned how great the Germans were. They just kept creating these defensive lines there. And we got our guys butchered, trying to get there, trying to get through it. And there wasn't a ton that was worth it. The hindsight's always 20/20. I'm not even indicting anybody specifically about it. I can understand the strategic thinking. It's easy for me, moron, sitting here behind the microphone in the year 2025, to judge the strategic thinking of generals and military planners fighting a global war, but it just did not work. It didn't work at all. And I know we eventually, General Clark eventually rides through Rome to what he hopes is going to be a hero's welcome, but it didn't land all that well. But a lot of very brave men died, and some of the worst fighting America did was on Italian soil, trying to climb up to this fortress, this monastery, trying to claw up mountains and claw through valleys, trying to get those daggone Germans out of there. And they were just dug in like ticks. And it was, look, if you, and look, the Brits were right there with us, to their credit, because this guy was a Brit who sent the email. The Brits died just like we died, trying to get the foothold onto Italy. People died. We took Sicily without too much trouble. Remember, Sicily's that big, huge island right off the toe of the boot of Italy. We took that, and that was kind of our staging area. It wasn't like it was nothing, but it wasn't much. But on the Italian mainland, the Germans knew we were coming. They had defensive lines set up, and a lot of men died for a campaign that strategically really did not give us much of anything. If you had to sell that campaign as being worth it, the Germans did have to send some units down there to reinforce the line. So we did, in I guess a small way, put a strain on the German army because they had to reinforce the line. But the Italian campaign, I've done it many times. It is a sad affair. It was a brutal affair and one most people don't know anything about. Nothing. Jesse, has the Democrat Party lost its identity entirely? What is it supposed to look like? I don't know that I would ever say any party is supposed to look like anything. What we have in America is unique, and you could argue it's not great in that we really have two major parties, two significant parties. That's not normal. Other countries have many parties. Germany has many parties. Canada has many parties. Israel has many parties. Countries around the world have many parties, and they form coalitions based on their shared values with this party or that party. Here in America, we kind of have two. So what will happen oftentimes is you have to be the yang to their yin. So you try to just be the opposite of whatever they are. Well, oftentimes you see this happening to Democrats right now. That dooms you. If you think no matter what Trump does, you have an obligation to oppose it because you're the opposition party. Well, what happens when Donald Trump pulls up a 13-year-old brain cancer survivor? The whole country loves that. Everybody. Anyone with a soul loves that. But you feel like you have an obligation to oppose it because you're the opposition party. You just make yourself look terrible. Absolutely terrible. Al Green, that moron, that congressman from Houston, has this act of defiance on the House floor. It just looked bad. It looked bad. It looked small. It looked petty. It didn't look pro-America. Even Chuck Schumer couldn't defend it.
What's going through your head as you heard the congressman yelling?
Well, look, the bottom line is lots of people are frustrated, but the best way to protest what Trump is doing what we are doing and many senators and many congressmen are doing, and that is organizing against these horrible policies of calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme and then cutting, slashing
would you
people
rather,
in Social
would you
Security
rather,
offices.
That Congressman
so here's
Green,
what we're, John,
would
here's
you rather,
what we're doing.
Would you
let
rather
say,
that he not yell?
Here, let me just say, the best answer, in my judgment, is to organize.
Hear the reporter trying to. No, I asked about Congressman Green. You're talking about what? I'm not going to play it. It goes on for a minute, but even Chuck Schumer knows. Okay, that looked really bad. But when you've programmed yourself to believe that no matter what they do, you must oppose. Well, all they have to do is take an extremely popular position and watch you hang yourself. The men and women sports thing. I actually don't care for that on principle because I don't think any of this tranny madness should be celebrated. Mentally ill people need help. They don't need to be affirmed. Okay, you can't change your gender no matter what your age. The tranny argument goes beyond dudes beating up women in sports. But politically, it is a brilliant move by Trump and the Republican Party because that is an 80-20 issue. Even the majority of Democrats, you realize that? It's a tiny majority, but even the majority of Democrats don't want dudes beating up chicks in sports. Yet virtually every elected Democrat has come out on that side of it, on the 20% side of it, because you have to be the opposition. Now, what's it supposed to look like? We can talk about that, the Democrat Party, at least what it was. Talk about that in a moment. Who's going to be on the Democrat ticket and many other things before we get to that. Let me get to this. Putting your money where your morals are. We talked earlier about Target and these big companies. You think just because Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you think just because they've stopped vocally campaigning for Black Lives Matter that they've changed their commie ways? Think they're kind of done with all that now and now they're all about America? Or do you think they're changing the labels and doing the same evil crap they were always doing before? Well, you know the answer. Pure Talk didn't wait until Donald Trump got elected before they were pro-America. They didn't wait till Donald Trump started putting tariffs on people before they were hiring American citizens. Pure Talk's been all about America since Pure Talk got started. Their CEO fought for this country in Vietnam. They're giving out free iPhone 14s or Samsung Galaxies with a qualifying purchase right now. Same 5G network. Nothing stopping you. You can switch your cell phone service during the break. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.